Hello and welcome to the Sticks and Stokes Cricket Podcast. Less news, more controversial views. We're just five guys talking about cricket.
Because you never know when someone's going to say something stupid.
I'm a bit irritated with Nick Knight as well giving us that Ospin masterclass. Because I was looking at Nick Knight's career, and he only took one wicket in his whole career. Is he on any socials at all?
He's not on Twitter.
He's not on LinkedIn.
So join us as we shamelessly bait established cricketing legends on our journey to become the most influential voice of the cricketing world.
Guys, I'm just looking up the chartable.com, the iTunes cricket podcast charts. I'm down to number 57. We've still not appeared just yet.
We've had 11 ratings.
Yeah, they're all fine. Yeah, I've been telling people to do that, to be fair.
Yeah.
The cricket podcast are 11, for fuckers. Hate those bastards. Fourth is the analyst. Second is the grade cricketer.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, two other podcasts have launched in the last 10 days or so.
But don't worry too much about them. Last week's episode was described by one listener as insightful and entertaining, by another as not bad at all, actually. So if you're enjoying this podcast, why not follow us on Twitter? Search for the Sticks and Stokes Cricket Podcast. This week, we'll be looking back at the second test in Chennai, picking the gaps in the mainstream media's cricketing coverage, hitting Nick Knight's latest bowling masterclass for six, and spinning ourselves into trouble with the cricketing gods, also known as the BCCI. So let's meet the team. Hello, I'm the host and the guy who didn't introduce himself last time, Ben Fookes. We've got the opinionated one who spoke a bit too much. Joining me here is Johnny Hilliard. The guy who needs to sort his headphones out, calling in from Chennai, is Chris Watt. And we've also got the chief culprit of some of the more ridiculous chat. And also our resident James Vince enthusiast, which is Chaser. And finally, the Somerset fan and the winner of the Lucky Dip competition to appear on this podcast. We didn't hear much of him last podcast because we had to edit out most of his contributions. But Alex Crabb, good to have you with us again.
Right.
Chaps, back down to earth with a bit of a bump this week. English cricket, we lost by a whopping 317 runs to India, which was more than we scored in the entire game across two innings. So we could probably batted four times there and still not won that match. Joe Root described it as a lesson for the team. So what did we learn? What did we learn, fellas? Crabby, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I had a good point, which was lovely to not see Alistair Cook on Channel 4 anymore. So they obviously ditched him after our pod last week, I think. And we were lucky enough. Strauss has actually got a lot better banter than Cook. And Ebony Rayford-Brent was actually a lot better than I thought she was going to be. So I was really pleasantly surprised. She's not bad, actually. She's not bad. And but sadly, I did turn on TMS Cricket Social or whatever it's called, and I did hear his horrible voice at the in there. So I had to turn that off and listen to TalkSport. India just play better on turning pitches than us, and it just seems that our batsmen cannot cope. I'm not convinced with our top three at all. I know Sibley scores runs every now and then, and he hangs around a bit, but it did look our worst top three for a long time. Dan Lawrence just doesn't look like a test player at all. So I'm very disappointed. And we've got to ring the changes because it's just not good enough.
That could be the last we see of Dan Lawrence, you think, perhaps?
Hopefully, yeah. And that horrible man with the haircut. Well, it's not a haircut, is it? It's just a hairstyle.
The pirate, Rory Burns, also didn't cover himself in glory again this game. We're going to move on. We're going to do the first feature, which last week was too good, too bad, but unfortunately, Match of the Day have been in touch and we're not going to be allowed to do that again. So we are doing the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The lawyer's been in there. Or...
Yeah, we've got the lawyers on the case, but I think
none of our dads are lawyers. Oh, no, Crabby, your dad's a lawyer. Can he sort us out on that one? Defend our case?
Yeah, he mainly does a rapist, though, and murderers. That's the problem.
Well, he's
family,
sorted
family
up,
firm,
yeah.
Is it?
Perfect.
Family, yeah. He's helped me out a few times. right then. Back to you, Fooksy, sorry.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Anyone want to start us off?
I think good. You got to take your hat off to India. I mean, you know, Rohit Sharma on that first day took it away from us.
I thought it was also great to see the crowds back at the cricket. It was good to see the stands full rather than just completely empty and the horrible TV made up crowd noise.
Yeah, although the production crew and cameraman didn't seem as interested in the cricket, a bit more in the crowds, and particularly Rohit Sharma's missus when he was spanking 160 of them, or what she had to think of it, than what was going on in the middle. Do we know who she is?
I looked her up. Her job is she's Rohit Sharma's agent. That's her only job.
Do you reckon she got the job as his agent and then became his wife? Or he just let be his agent?
That's a good question. A good question and a good tweet, Watty. You can send that one out. Yeah, we want to know the order. Did Rohit Sharma's wife become his agent, or did his agent become his wife?
These are the hard-hitting questions that we really need to have answered.
No one cares why it reverse swings.
Watty, you need to tweet that. You need to tweet that to Rohit Sharma, because he's nothing on there, isn't he?
Yeah, no, and his wife.
Anyway, Watty, what's your
following
nomination?
I would have in as the England team management for the handling of Moeen Ali and his dropping, resting, rotation, lack of proper communication to the media, throwing Moeen under a bus slightly, stemming from Joe Root and Silverwood. Mm.
Well, it sounds like they did ask him to stay, but he went, "You're all right, thanks."
But then they made it look like he just wanted to sack off the tour.
Yeah.
And well, they didn't bother calling up a replacement on a pitch which had just turned at right angles, and they're like, "Oh no, we'll be fine with two spinners." One of whom we just binned off because we didn't think he's that good. So he bowled loads of full tosses.
Yeah, that's not looking good in hindsight. That, and we'll go with seven seamers in the squad for the third test.
Ridiculous.
Seven seamers in India and only two spinners. I mean, how on earth are you going to send Moeen Ali home and then not call someone up? And then, I mean, irrespective of what happened and it was all badly managed, the fact they knew he was going home or due to go home, and they only were thinking now, oh, maybe we need another spinner in the squad. I mean, it's ridiculous. They've got two guys there, then call in, but yet they're in the shadow squad. We're not going to play them in Verdi and Crane. And then they've, with the seamers, we're going to have seven seamers in contention for the max three spots, probably only two. I mean, I just thought it's an absolute joke.
Crazy, isn't it? It's a bit too cozy and comfortable as well. It's kind of like, well, Wokesy's a good guy, so he should probably come on tour, you know.
Was Mark Wood there? Is Mark Wood there and only in the main squad, not the shadow squad, like Verdi and Crane, who are not good enough to make the, you know, number of spinners they want? Mark Wood, you know, Chris Wokes, why can't they be shadow squad players as well? Why do they have to be in the proper squad?
Mark Wood seems to laugh there.
You know, if you're the sixth and seventh seamers there, like, why take them?
But he does quite a good interview, doesn't he? He rides around on an imaginary horse in the outfield.
It goes back to the Joe Denley stuff. He's in there for being a good lad.
Exactly. And I mean, I get that it must be really difficult in a bubble and with families and things like this, and, you know, young children perhaps and all the rest of it. But playing professional sport, you've always had to do that. You know, you're going to have to have been training every single day, going to games. Like, that's always kind of had to come first over everything else. And so pick and choose the matches you want, so long as we know beforehand. It just feels a bit club cricket. They're being so like, you know, nice to, you know, people about the lockdown situation. It's like, go back to your family, but they're also doing it the other way around. It's like, come away, we can have a nice like break. It's like a nice holiday for you, Wokesy.
Wasn't he offered to miss some of the one days and T20s next month, though? So it's where the whole IPL versus the tests is not 100% accurate.
But either way, he has decided he doesn't want to play the next test, basically.
Yeah, but is he even going to play?
I think if you're picking England's best team now, I mean, that's a question to you guys. But, I mean, he just got Kohli out twice.
He's not in it, though.
Who should we be calling out from Somerset, Krabby?
Well, Best can't even get in the Somerset team. That's why we let him go to Yorkshire. But he should still get in the England team. The Somerset team would give the England team a good good go in a, on a on a spinning pitch in Taunton. England players can't play spin. Honestly, if they turn up there and they lost the toss, I think they'd just throw the towel in.
We've gone way off. Watty, your point was the England management is the bad.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fair enough. Chaser?
I thought the umpiring was terrible. Particularly the TV umpire. There was a stumping, I think, in the first innings, which there was no clear foot behind the line, so he should have been given out. And then it was also the catch off the glove, which was ludicrous. Like, even Root was asking the umpire, you need to keep playing it. It comes off the pad, flicks the glove, and is then caught. And they just weren't even looking at it. They then flipped to, like, LBW, and it was just terrible.
That was a really bizarre period of play, wasn't it? Like, because both of those, the first one for the run out, there's only one camera angle suddenly when, like, I don't know what the Star Sports budget for this series must be, but presumably they have a camera on both sides of the wicket. So it was odd that they didn't show that to the third umpire. So I could almost maybe forgive the first one, but then not looking at the second when the England captain's clearly asking, you know,
it's come off the glove
and everyone can
and
see it.
And there's another one with an LBW where the guy didn't play a shot. And clearly he didn't play a shot. And the umpire on the field said he did play a shot.
What are we putting this down to? A bit of a conspiracy theory of India didn't enjoy the first test defeat.
Yeah, it's BCCI backlash from
isn't it?
England having the audacity to win a test in India.
How dare they?
It just looked like fans wearing umpire's kit, though, didn't they? That fat lad. He was happy to be there, wasn't he? You could tell when Curly was talking to him, he was sort of overawed by the occasion. And Curly just walked all over him, didn't he? Every decision he gave, Curly would argue it, even when he gets clean bowled.
Why didn't he walk?
Out of interest, Crummy, what should an umpire look like? If those umpires look like fans, what should an umpire look like? Should they be like David Sheppard or Steve Buckner?
Yeah. David Sheppard was a gorgeous looking man. He was from the West Country as well.
You're putting Anil Chowdhury in the
definitely
in the bad, or is it
ugly performance?
It was quite ugly, wasn't it? Well, that may be the whole BCCI.
Talking of ugly, I thought Virat Kohli needs to go in the ugly. I know we discussed his not walking when he got bowled, but some of his moaning to the umpire, particularly in the second innings after the DRS review, where he's clearly missing off stump by about 3 foot on when Root was not given out. And also the one where the walking on the pitch, I thought was disgrace. He got caught doing it when he was batting, and then the helmet chucking. I don't know if anyone saw that.
Yeah.
But when he threw the helmet at, I think it was Pant, but Pant was nowhere near him. He was about 6 foot away from him and landed smack in the middle of the pitch. And it was quite clear that he was trying to doctor the pitch, and it just wasn't even needed. It was already turning at right angles. Like, why even bother?
Completely unnecessary, wasn't it? I mean, if you haven't seen that, we'll share it on Twitter, some of those GIFs. That's Watty's job.
Bumble called for him to get a 3-match ban earlier today.
Is it? I think there is a chance that he may get a 1-match ban. They've got a hearing. He has been called in front of the match referee or whatever the...
Is it the BCCI?
There is a very good chance that
that's
is
only one
not
way.
Gonna...
Well, the ICC are so dominated by the BCCI anyway, that it might as well be the BCCI, isn't it?
So corrupt.
I think it's unlikely they'll throw the book at him, put it that way. Yeah.
He must have. He gets such preferential treatments in India. It's ridiculous.
So Kohli is going in the ugly. Johnny, have you... What were yours?
Well, I was going to take Kohli, but do you know what? I'd like to say one thing for the good. Rakeem Cornwall's unbelievable performance in the West Indies victory over Bangladesh.
It was wonderful, wasn't it? What, he took 9 wickets, I think, in the game, was it?
Something like that. I'd need to look up the stats. I need to start again here. His 9 wickets in the game, a 5 for, and then... And then taking some key wickets in their 17-run victory over Bangladesh in what was obviously a cracking game of cricket.
Sounds like a fantastic game, that, doesn't it? Great series, actually, with the sort of West Indies B team. Doesn't say much for Bangladesh.
Yeah, the Bangladeshis did a very good job of throwing it away there. They had a commanding lead in the first test and somehow contrived to lose that. And the Windies went on to win the second one.
I'm not sure if our panel of esteemed experts here have got too much to say on Bangladesh, but we'll see.
Just going back to Rakim Cornwright, yeah, I did watch a bit in Chittagong. I thought he bowled absolutely beautifully.
He bowled 62 overs in that match.
Yeah,
there'll be like nothing left
of
him by the end. Tuesday lighter.
Well, he's only got two paces. He comes off two paces. He sort of walks in. He's a very, very crafty bowler, and he doesn't bowl any full tosses. He comes down from 6 foot six, plus the arm extension on top. So he's coming down from, you know, about 8 foot there or so. And he's got very good hands. He feels it slip, obviously, because he can't field anywhere else. He's got a good pair of hands on him. He's just a very good all-round cricket player. Exactly. I wish he was English.
You'd probably pick him ahead of our spinners at the moment, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. He's got way more control than any of our spinners. Yeah, he's a great player.
I would love to see Stakes and Rakim Cornwall in a fitness test before the tour.
They'd make a good slip cordon, though, wouldn't they, those two together?
If you want to laugh, go on YouTube and look at batting for St. Lucia Zooks. And he scores a 50 in the Caribbean Premier League, which is just about the worst standard imaginable. And his top that he's wearing in it is so small. He's got a proper, he's got really firm pair of tits on him, actually. But it's well worth watching. He gets dropped about three times, but it's a great little knock. And Ian Bishop's on commentary, trying to make it sound like it's the World Cup final, and it's not. It's a really bad game of cricket.
So, any other contenders we want to throw in? Should we do a quick recap? Crabby, or talk to what the commentary team, what is throwing in the England management, Chaser, the umpires, and Coley, the kind of whole BCCI corrupt apparatus. And Johnny Hilliard with Rakim Cornwall. Well, should we?
Well, and India as well. I did mention them at the beginning.
You mentioned India.
They were quite good this week.
Are we putting the pitch in there? Was the pitch good, bad, or ugly?
Brilliant.
Pitch was good. Good pitch.
Yeah, good. Yeah. We like the pitch.
Mm. Okay. Well, should we give it to the pitch? I think we should give it to the pitch. I think it produced some quite entertaining cricket.
And some entertaining comments on Twitter.
Yeah, it's always good to see a lot of grown men just like shouting at each other about a strip of grass, you know, and how whether or not it's a bit dry. Right, let's move on. We made some predictions before the match, and safe to say, I don't think they've gone very well. First up, our gambling addict, betting expert Chaser. You actually made another prediction, not on air, but you put a real bet in, didn't you, for India to score 380 runs, and then that didn't quite come off.
Yeah, that was
expensive day for you.
That was unfortunate. It was looking great at one point, and then I got a little cocky and sent it around on the WhatsApp group, which is always a fatal. Quickly turned south.
Yeah, keep your losses quiet. Cool. That's a true.
That cost you a few pennies, that one.
Yeah, it was a small amount. Haven't really eaten for a week after that one, I think.
Chaser, you called Dom Sibley to score 100.
Wasn't great. Can't play spin, can he? So he was always going to be in trouble as soon as we saw that pitch.
Did he make 50 in the match?
No, he got 3 and 16. Outperformed by Rory Burns. That's never a good sign, is it?
Mark that down as a fail. Anyone improve on that? Crabby, you had Jofra'd score 50. He might have done if he just got given a game.
Well, against that spinning ball, I think Jofra would have just given up. I don't think I'd have bothered even going out there.
I called Jay Root to get 5 wickets. He just didn't bowl himself enough. I think
he got one wicket in the whole match. One wicket.
He could have had more though, couldn't he? He had a couple of close LBWs. Okay, yeah, that's also a fail. Should we look ahead? What do we need to do then? What's different? Oh, Watty.
My very out there prediction, real left field shout of that the winner of the toss was going to win the game.
I ignored that because it just wasn't really a prediction, frankly. although having said that, do we think England would have won had we won the toss?
No.
I think it would have been a lot closer. I mean, don't know, but I can't imagine England would have lost that badly, but I don't think that's any fault of the pitch or, you know. India would have possibly won if we'd won the toss, whereas I think the way they batted, no chance we were going to win we were going to lose the toss and win.
Right, we need to sort of look ahead to the next game. And there was also a feature that went down to huge critical acclaim in the first episode of our village cricket stories from Johnny. probably bored half the listeners to sleep, but we had at least one positive comment about it.
Did we?
Really?
I got a text, yeah.
Has my mum been messaging in again?
Is that Godfrey?
Godfrey Hilliard very much enjoyed the post. The pod, sorry. And I see he's been engaging on Twitter as well.
Should we do any of a Twitter roundup, Watty? We are on Twitter, the Sticks and Stokes Cricket Podcast.
How many followers have we got?
109, which is... so we've actually had huge critical acclaim to the first episode. We've kind of gone global. We have a 4% audience in Singapore. So I believe we're now the number one cricket podcast in Singapore. We have 1% from the UAE. So obviously we've got a mate out in Dubai. 1% in America, in Germany, real cricketing powerhouses, and in Kyrgyzstan.
That cricket hotbed, Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah. Or that might just be, is that you listening, Chaser, but with a VPN connection or something like this?
Was it that obvious?
And we've got some followers on Twitter. Watty, don't we?
It's really sort of blowing up on Twitter. We're almost into double figures. So we've hit 9 followers, of which I think at least 4 of the followers are on this podcast currently.
And one of them is my dad, I think, as well.
A bit more success on Instagram. Maybe that's the future. We're almost in up to 20 followers.
It sounds a bit like you're quoting the England top 3 scorecard.
Not that great.
The grace on the listeners, isn't it? That's not our issue. Yeah, that's up to people to follow us. You know, they're listening in.
Seek out this podcast. It's
a multimedia, multi-platform experience now, isn't it?
Have we got an email as well? What if they don't have any?
Don't have an email or a website.
Why haven't we got a website?
Actually, no, I did set up an email. There is an email.
There's an email.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. What's it?
What's our email address?
It's a Gmail one. I need to find it. I can't remember what it is.
Oh, you actually don't know.
Yeah, that wasn't me being sort of playing hard to get on the email address. And the email address, if you want to get in touch, is sticksandstokescricketpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, we're the only one.
Shall I see if we've got any emails? YouTube have been in touch. The Google community team. So yeah, it's taking off there too.
What else have we got, Krabby? We're going to do the Nick Knight bowling masterclass.
Yeah, well, he didn't really get involved with the spinners as much this week. I think Murali Karthik probably had a word with him.
Perhaps also again, evidence of the influence of this podcast already. We've seen some changes in the commentary box, haven't we?
I know, and Chris Watt kindly put something on Twitter about me slating Nick Knight, which was great. But he did do quite a bit of a reverse swing this week. He was talking about seam positions and wrist positions and stuff, which hopefully they'll shut him down. He won't be doing any more of that again. But I spent a bit of time trying to find out who Nick Knight's only wicket in first-class cricket is. And funnily enough, I couldn't find anything on it, so I don't even believe he took a wicket. But whilst I was looking for that for his victim, I came with a lot. There was a lot of Nick Knight photos that popped up, and I do think he'd actually make a very good James Bond. He looks a bit like Roger Moore, between Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan. He's sort of a bit of a mixture. I don't know if anyone else agrees with that.
Hard to argue, mate.
It's a bit of a stretch, I think, maybe, but each their own.
Crabby, you know he's got 2 List A wickets, Nick Knight.
Yeah, I saw that as well. He actually bowled in his last final ever first class game as well. So I don't know what they were up to. He got 0 for 41 against Kent. I don't know. The captain probably just threw him the ball because Nick was in his ear the whole time talking about seam positions and wrist positions. I said, right, here's 6 overs. If you shut up, Nick. 0 for 41, job done. But he did have a triple century, 303 not out. So, I mean, that is pretty impressive. He was a good player, just not a good bowler.
That's big of you to admit.
Talking about good and perhaps overrated players and teams in a lovely, smooth segue, onto the World Test Championship. And it looks, well, we know that New Zealand await either the winners of this series, or if it's a draw, England win 2-1, then Australia. But are they the worst number one side ever?
Yes.
Yes.
Unanimous.
I think
they didn't play much test cricket though, did they?
Leave it there or any case for the offence.
I think they've got some fair players in Kane Williamson. Is he
Kane Williamson.
Top three batsman. Tim Southee's good bowler, as is Trent Bolt. I've got that massive lad as well, Jamieson. He's quick and bouncy, so I'm a big fan of him.
When people said the podcast was insightful, I'm not sure what they were talking to you. We've got Kane Williamson's quite good, and the two bowlers who've taken all the wickets are also quite good.
They've only won one test match in Australia in like 30 years or something. They only play sort of two or three match series, so they don't play a huge amount over there. But you've got to judge the best team in the world for their record winning away and going away to places like Australia, and they just don't win test matches over there. They get spanked every time they go.
They've also probably benefited from the fact that they've not been playing that many games for the Test Championship, because it's based on like a percentage of points awarded. It's a system that only cricket could come up with to award the winner to a team that didn't get the most points or barely played any games. But it looks like it'll be that way. But it'll also be interesting if it's played in England in July, maybe.
Pretty familiar conditions for them, isn't it?
It could well be at Lords. I think they play quite well there. So
they've only lost to Australia in about the last 4 or 5 years.
India.
So they've beaten England and India in the last sort of 18 months or so.
No one really tries when they're playing New Zealand. You just stick a few reserves out there. And it's normally only a two-match series. So
of all those series, they've played two away. Nine of them are at home.
Is that right?
That'll do it.
Well, I wonder if they'll come with COVID and stuff. Maybe we'll get a game anyway because we're home. Sneak in.
Because the Aussies and the Kiwis refuse to show up.
We're here. Yeah. Play India again for like the 10th game in a row. Well, looking forward to that. Whoever wins. Let's look forward. So if England are to make it to the final, they have to win the last two games. So selection panel, what are you doing? What are you doing for the next game? Obviously, the next test is they've got a bit of a break. They go to Ahmedabad and it will be a day-night test match, which means a pink ball, possibly, I've heard, like dewier conditions. So the ball might not spin as much in the evening, might swing. Who knows? It's a new stadium, so they haven't got any test history. So who are you bringing in? Here we've got Bairstow back, and we've got the Yorkshire Brigade calling for his immediate inclusion at number three, which I don't really get.
But you've got Crawley supposed to be back from injury as well. I'd be more inclined to play Crawley than Bairstow, personally. I'd keep the openers for now. I just don't think there's much better beyond them. And the bowling's really the key element. Obviously, you've got to put Don Best back in there and Jack Leach. I think you need two spinners. Then that leaves you two seamers, Anderson, and probably Broad. I'm assuming Jofra, even if he's fit, he's probably not going to be fully fit. That's probably my 11.
I think I'd play all three seamers. I think I'd play Archer, Broad and Anderson.
Yeah.
And then only go with Root and Leach as your spinners if you need.
That's a long tail, though, isn't it?
Long tail, though.
Yeah, cool. With Archer, Broad and Anderson and Leach.
I mean, that's four number 11s in your team there.
Yeah, four shit number 11s as well.
One of them's a number 14.
I think it's safe to say they're not going to do that.
I mean, if they're not going to play Best, surely it's finally explained to us why they brought Chris Wokes on tour, because it doesn't seem in any way rational from a bowling perspective. And maybe he's there to be the bowler who's a bit shit at bowling, but slightly less shit at batting.
But maybe he's been working on his off-spinners or something. He's just going to come in and bowl like 50 mile, just sort of throw it in there, just bowl cutters.
I can't do any worse than Leach and
you'd have thought,
Ali and Best.
Grabby, what are you doing for the next game?
I'm probably going to listen to it on Talk Sports with Mark Nicholas, and I hope that Burns gets dropped. Greta Thunberg of the team. And also, is James Bracey there or not? Is he called James Bracey?
I think he might be in the backup squad, but he's not going to play.
Let's get him in. And I'd like to put Bairstow at three, Root at four. I'd keep Sibley opening. At five, I'd have Stokes. Then I'd drop Pope and put Crawley at six. I think that's worth doing. Pope hasn't looked particularly good to me. And then bowling wise, pretty much what Hilliard said. Jofra, though, I think Jofra's got to be there.
Broad, Anderson, and Jofra.
Jofra's
no, not Broad. Not Broad. Not Broad. No, no. Anderson, Broad, looks, Broad looked rubbish in that last game.
What was going on with the bandana, by the way? Why is he wearing a bandana? He looked like a kamikaze pilot, except he was less potent than a kamikaze pilot. But well, I think he's holding it all over the place.
He's thinning slightly on top, isn't he, really? I think that is just an elaborate ploy just to hide what's going on the top of his head.
We're going to do a short episode next week where we'll look at predictions, perhaps when we've got a bit more insight into who's likely to play and what the pitch might do. Any other comments? Cool. We could do a Vince update, couldn't we?
Turn down the IPL.
Moeen could take a page out.
He would have got a deal there as well. The way he's played in the Big Black, in the Big Bash.
There's not many spaces, though, is it? I think it's 60 spaces, but there's 300 players in the auction.
You see, for the 100 auction, there's something like... Because there's only about 7 or something. Ridiculous. Very low number of overseas slots left. There's about 280 players gone for it.
Is that right? But I'm not that impressed by the 100. Like, quite a few of the big names have pulled out, haven't they? And the Southern Brave team, that looks like...
Which Aussies have pulled out? I know a lot have been sacked off. I know Smith and Warner have been not renewed by their teams, but they've both got in for the draw again. Warner certainly has.
Stark's pulled out.
Has he been pulled out or has he just not been retained? That's the question.
I don't know.
Because David Warner, for example, he was just not retained by the Southern Brave. He's in the auction, but they didn't want him.
That's because he's a...
There we go. Got a controversial club.
It's not even controversial,
mate.
Are they playing cricket in Australia at the moment, by the way? Like, where did that video from Smith come from?
What a plonker he looked like.
He's a loser, isn't he?
Why is he deciding to do that?
A player, though.
He's actively trying to do it, loads, isn't he? I mean, that's... Lots of people do slightly quirky things naturally and, you know, whatever. But he's deliberately being a bit of a space cadet there, isn't he? I mean...
Isn't the more cringy thing when Marnus Labuschagne's trying to copy him being weird? That's
a bunch of weirdos, the Aussies.
Yeah.
Well, I love it when Warne got...
Like what Shane Warne and Andrew Simons had to say about Marnus Labuschagne, personally. Yeah. But...
They called him a mong, didn't they?
Well, didn't he take out a cheese toasty in his pocket into the outfield when they were playing against India? That's what I heard. And that had all sorts of past baggy green greats going off on Twitter about it. It's kind of sacrilegious.
I think Langer wasn't too happy about it, was he? And then Langer's had a moan this week about people having a moan about him having a moan. They can't win the Aussie team at the moment.
Literally. Just a shame we're not playing them sooner, really. They'll probably get it all sorted out by next winter.
They'll be fine by next December, ready to steamroller us again.
After forcing us into a four-week quarantine. That's enough for this week. We'll be back next week with a prequel to the third test match. So thanks everyone for joining. Thanks, Krabby. Thanks, Watty. Thanks for your insight. Johnny, thanks for keeping quieter this week. And Chaser, I'm not giving you any more money to bet. All right. Thanks so much, Rads.